Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Murray Cup News. Sorry, a bit late here. It's like 25 past 5 as I'm recording this. So much news out today on Murray Cup News. So I had a lot of data filling in to do. Maybe I should get someone else to do that for me. Tell me, I'm a bit of control freak. I want all the figures to be right. Well, I put them in website. I make mistakes. So if I get someone from Fiverr.com or something to do it, they wouldn't have a clue, would they, how to read the financial statements and all that. So I like to put in every bit of data until I can find a way of automating it. I have to do every single revenue, operating profit, gross profit, net profit, balance sheet, cash flow statements, every single figure from microcap companies. So they're commercial, and I put them in. Let's look at some macro news. Donald Trump has hit out at Keir Starmer's taxes on North Sea oil just hours after praising the Prime Minister when the two met at the US. Did you see him slagging off Khan, Mayor of London? He's a nasty man. He's a nasty man. But he did say, Trump said that the North Sea oil is a treasure chest for the United Kingdom. And he urged Starmer to incentivize drillers. I do question why we are taxing, oil and gas. If we can get it out of the ground cheaper than anything else, any other energy source. I believe we're going to, obviously we're transitioning, but transitioning means not shutting off one and trying to force people to do the other. So essentially they're penalising oil and gas producers, but are they incentivising everyone else to adopt? They're not, because, installing solar, buying EVs, getting heat pumps, they do incentivise heat pumps, but they're not compatible with many homes. They're not compatible with our home. We did ask about that. I think you get $7,500, didn't you? Off. So unless the technology is as good as or better than and cheaper, or the same cost, it's not going to work. And the reason why the UK is so, unproductive is our baseload energy costs is so expensive. Every company, every business needs energy. If that's at a higher cost than other countries, then we're going to be less profitable. We can't employ more people, invest more people. Now, if you let these companies invest, and don't penalise them, but say, we'll give you incentives to invest in green energy in some way, rather than just penalise them to produce oil and gas, it would work a lot better. Incentivise users as well. It's the technology, it's got to be as good. It's got to be the same amount, affordable as previous technologies. Otherwise, they won't be adopted. It just makes us more inefficient. I do, of course, you've got to look at the thing saying it's about the environment. But part of me thinks, is it cyclical what's happening? We are getting extreme weather, it seems, at the moment, it's the warmest 5 years out of the last 100 years have been in the last 10 years. So it does say something, I suppose. So is that about carbon or is it cyclical? You know, I don't know. Anyway, I have no idea. But what I'm saying is, you know, you can't expect people to adopt technologies if they're not as good and they're more expensive. That's a double whammy, isn't it? Or have this technology, or why, or you love it. It's not as good as the old technology you had, and it's a bit more expensive, but it's better for the environment. Oh, is it? Right, okay. Well, I'll be dead in about 20 for 30 years. So, oh, it's my children's children, my children's children. Anyway, let's. Anything else? I think it was like mortgages jumped back up this year. There's something else on the news as well, but I think something about old kids. It's about warm weather, and UK retail sales bounced back as Brits enjoyed the warmest June on. There we are, the warmest June on record. That's due to climate change. So, is it a trend? Is it getting worse? Is this climate change, or is it cyclical? I don't know. But they say here that Brits enjoyed the warmest June on record, which helped drive sales of food and drink. The Office for National Statistics said overall retail sales volumes rose by 0.9% in June, following a 2.8% fall in May, as consumers returned to the high street. The warm weather, positive effect. We're funny a lot, aren't we? It's like if it's a bit rainy, we just stay indoors like a hermit. And then, you know, the sun comes out. Oh, let's get out. Let's get out and buy stuff and go bare-topped. I don't like that. I see blokes just walking on the street bare-topped. And, you know, I saw this guy the other day in the town near me, and he was like, he must have been 50, so there. But he had like cut-off jeans on with a belt, and he had a bit of, he had one of those unique combinations of managing to be scrawny, but with a big belly somehow, you know, scrawny arms, scrawny shoulders, but he had a fat belly. And he was bare-topped, and he wore sunglasses like, you know, you've seen the Mafiosa films. In the mafia films, you know, the same. And he's a slick back hair as well. He's about 5'4", and I think he thought he was a Don. He was walking down the street in the sun. I thought, mate, I wish I had your ego or your self-confidence. You walk into the street like you are the Don, but you are literally a middle-aged guy, scrawny, fat belly, thinking you're the bomb, pretty much. Just put a top on, fella, okay? anyway, sorry, I'm late. Loads of results out today. Let's go through the markets. Looking at the FTSE 100, it's up 0.6%. It's just a smidge off the all-time high, 9,136. So we can't quite ring the bell there, but FTSE 250 down 0.7%, 21,793. FTSE small cap, it is down 0.5%, 723. Is it worth me reading out the numbers? Unless, you know, percentages are good, but numbers, I don't see the point of doing that, really. Apart from AIM, I do keep an eye on the AIM number. It's down 0.9%. Oh, you bugger. Is it 780 it hit yesterday, and it came back down, rolling over. In fact, the American markets are open. The NASDAQ is down 0.25%. It did hit an all-time high yesterday, but that the gains are getting less and less. We are getting a bit toppy on the markets, I believe. Like I did say yesterday, I think we've gone from a relief rally now to the realisation that tariffs are not positive for global economics. What about the S&P? That's down as well, just a fifth of 1%, 6376. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, it's down 0.4% to 44,662. Let's look at some commodities here. Brent crude is pretty much flat, $70 a barrel. We've got gold, it's up. Do you know what? Interest rates are going to come down, debt's going up. Gold may be softening a little bit here, but it's still within the range. The lower end of the range is, I think it'll be going lower if it went down below $3,250 an ounce. But we are at $3,320, not $3,250. I think it's going to go up long-term gold. Copper, it's pretty much flat as it was yesterday. To the ton, I'm obsessed with reading the numbers, but flat at 12,376. Let's look at the bonds. The two-year government yield bond is at 3.89, down 0.5%. The 10-year is down 0.5% to 4.6. And the 30-year is down 0.4% to 5.4. A pound will buy you €1 of 0.15, 115, 115.5. It'll buy you $1.33. That's weakened. Well, the dollar strengthened a bit. Well, that's what explains why the dollar's off, the gold is off a little bit. Because the dollar's rallied. In fact, it's just breached a recent high. This is the dollar index. So it's on that, 98.92. That was the recent high. It's at that now. So maybe the dollar's going to rally a bit. I think people are thinking that the tariffs are good for America. But are they? Because all you know, the other countries are going to do is pass on the prices, aren't they? So why is it good for America? And he says, oh, Bitcoin is down a bit as well. And that's on recent support here at 117,170. Of course, that's down to a bit of dollar strength as well. Because, of course, dollar weakens all that. People say, oh, it's, you know, dollar's lost its dominance as a currency. There's only one hard asset, that's gold and maybe Bitcoin. Bitcoin's not really hard, though, is it? It's just bits. Bits of coin. Okay, let's look at the microcap database. This is, of course, commercial companies, around about 100 million market cap or less. Why all the big winners start out at that size, around about that level? I mean, enterprise value, I'd go higher than that if it's showing growth and stuff. So let's start off with, and if these companies are profitable, of course, then I'll tick a box on my website. They're eligible for the microcap league. This is the Premier League of microcap companies, small cap companies. And then they get scored on 15 different metrics. And the higher the score, the higher up the league they go. There's over 100 companies eligible for the list. But only 30, top 30, get displayed. Because, of course, the ones on the bottom have less quality about them, really. Colfax Group is an international designer and distributor of luxury furnishing fabrics and wallpapers and a leading international decorating company. And they've got a market cap at 8.805 pence a share of 45 million. Listen to this. Enterprise value of 24 million. What did they come out with today? Aren't these the final results? So these are updated figures. So my comments on this are full year results were an improvement on 24. Revenue increased by 3%, 110 million. Profit before tax grew by 15%. To 8.9 million. Net cash increased 26% to 22.3 million. And free cash flow improved by 18% to 12.5 million. There's no broker forecast here, but 7.85 pence per share puts them on a current PE of 7. They also have net cash of 22 million. I mean, their enterprise value is 23.6. So their EVE, which is a lot of people do EV EBITDA. I'm not a big fan of EBITDA. So I think it's more accurate to EV, you know, enterprise value against earnings, which is net profit, apparently. It's just, that is just four, a ratio of four. Now, it seems to be of good value. Whether CFX will experience growth is unknown because one of the reasons the company reports these numbers was mainly due to exceptionally strong final quarter in the fabric division performance in the US as customers accelerated orders in advance of tariff increases. So it may be a, you know, a fake sort of bounce here or uplift because people were increasing their orders. So it'd be interesting to see what they do next time. But nevertheless, the value is there. Will they have growth though? Growth and value you're looking for. Flowtech Fluid Power. They came out with a business update. What did they come up with? Group trading update and notice of interim results. What do they do? Operates a supplier of fluid power products, systems and solutions. Its principal activities are distribution of engineering components and assemblies focusing on fluid power industry. So market cap at 59 pence is 37 million. Enterprise value, 52. So they do have a bit of debt, actually. That's gone up. So just scrolling down. They said the group delivered a profit performance for H1 2025 in line with the board's expectations. Expectations for 25 are revenue growth of 12% and a return to profit, net profit of 1.7 million. At 56 pence, this is a forecast PE of 21. Not cheap. Their net debt has also increased to 18.5 million, up from 13.5. So their EV earnings ratio is close to 29, even more expensive. Brokers forecast more improvement. 26, 27, where forward PE drops to 10 and then 7. So maybe worth a watch for a potential recovery play if they hit those figures, though. Okay. So maybe put FLO as ticker. All right, Flo. That's the ticker there for that. I'm going to miss Forterra. I don't know why I put that in. It was a bigger market cap than I thought. They came out with ahead of expectations, Forterra, but the valuation, let me scroll down and have a look. They make bricks, dense and lightweight blocks and all that stuff. I got a market cap here of 442. When I started filling out, this annoyed me. I started filling out the data because it came up on the significant news section of the website because they had ahead of expectations. And I realized then, oh, the market cap's too big here. They've got an enterprise value of 527 million, market cap of 444. So they've got debt of around about 100 million. So let's have a look. Half year results were revenue growth of 20%, up 20%, 195.1 million. What was these results then? The news today was, 6 months ended 30th of June, that's right. And they do say, full year expectations increased. So revenue growth 20%, up to 195.1 million. Profit before tax down 23%, 9.9. Net debt improved by 31% to 69.4 million versus 101, so that's gone down. Free cash flow of 18.3 million versus outflow of 9.4. They now expect the group's 2025 adjusted EBITDA to be ahead of our previous expectations. This is expected to be translated into adjusted PBT being significantly ahead of previous expectations due to broadly fixed depreciation and amortization and reducing finance expense. So, oh yeah, they're reducing debt. So that's a forecast of 25. Revenue up 13% to 388. Net profit up 39% to 224 million. At 210 per share, forecast PE of 18, but they have debt of 69 million. So enterprise value is 512 million. This puts them on an EVE of 20. Not particularly cheap, really. But if our debt comes down, of course, then finance expense comes down and then they get more profit. So that's FORT. Gaming Realms, GMR's ticker, pre-closed trading update here. Of course, they create and license innovative games for mobile with operations in the UK, US, Canada. Through its unique IP and brands, Gaming Realms is bringing together media, entertainment and gaming assets in new game formats, mainly Slingo. Slingo, bingo, slots, and other games. So it's in gambling. Gambling is a you know, area. So they've got a market cap of 156 million, enterprise value 143. Scrolling down. H1 trading update was very positive, with revenue up 18% to 16 million, adjusted EBITDA up 30% to 7.5. They said the group's trading in the first half was in line with its forecast. The board believes the company will continue with this trajectory during the remainder of the year. Forecast for 25 are revenue growth of 8%, so I expect a slower second half, to 30.7 million. Net profit growth of 16% to 10.13. At 54 pence, it puts on a PE of 16, forecast PE of 16. Quality company, net margins about 30% here. So is that right? Yeah, net margin forecast of 31% this year, 33% next year. I would say they've got, you know, single-digit growth forecast for this year, but double-digit or mid-double-digit growth profit-wise this year. But that, they both dropped a single-digit for next year. So even though it's on a PE 16. Now, there are rumours that the UK government may be looking for another income stream, and gambling tax could be one such source. So, however, in 2024, GMR only generated 3.6% of his revenue from the UK, whereas 59% came from North America. I've done a breakdown here in the comments. So even though there may be some volatility on sentiment, should the UK government announce a gambling tax, this could provide an opportunity to buy some shares if they suffer some weakness, as I believe this negative effect would only be temporary. Worth watching, Gaming Realms. Like I said, you know, on a maybe a single-digit growth of in 2026, top line earnings, maybe, you know, 16 times, 17 times, you know, it's pretty much there, but it's a good company. They need to up the growth really on that. Good, but it's a good company. Journeo trading update. I don't understand this really. But 63 million market cap, 49 million enterprise value, leading intelligent transport provider, delivering solutions in towns, cities, airports, and the public transport networks that connects them. So they do software, hardware, they supply the hardware. And in fact, you know, you'll see things like on buses, these little LED screens that tell you when the next bus is coming, or on the bus themselves. And so they supply the hardware and the backup software and all that. It's a very good company, actually. But let's scroll down to the H1 trading update. They said they are, our revenue for full year is in line with current market expectations. Expectations are revenue up 5% to 52 million, net profit down 10% to 4.1. At 3.85 per share, this is a PE of 16, which is not cheap for flat growth. To be honest, I was a little bit disappointed in these numbers, as I assumed they would be ahead of H1 24, considering all the recent contracts they've won. So revenue for H1 dropped by 4% on last year, but they do say this is due to a strong comparable of 3.4 million of revenue in the first phase of the New York City subway contract, which was completed during 2024. H1 25 includes no revenue from this contract, with two purchase orders announced in April, $2.5 million, and June, $2.7 million, that will benefit H2. The company's cash has increased to 18 million versus 12.9, which they say will be used for acquisitions and are at an advanced stage in progressing its stated strategy for strategic complementary acquisitions. So it looks like they're going to be announcing an acquisition soon. 2026, expect to show revenue up by 6% to 55 million, net profit up 12% to 4.6 million. And that will put them on what? P currently, where would that be? PE looking forward of 13 or 14. So it's back to growth, but it's single-digit top line and double-digit or 12 for 2026 after this year. What's next? Oh, from the microcap database. By the way, you can get access to this. I'm scratching the surface here on the information on this database. You literally can. I'm reading up about 5% of what you see. So if you can become a member, go on. It's only less than £3. £3 a week, that's all. What's that? Literally, it's less than a latte. Less than a latte a week. One latte a week. So stop having that extra latte. But you can have that as well. It's only less than £3. But latte is more expensive than £3. That's what it is. For the cost of a latte, you could become a member. Check out the sharepickers.com. Click on the About bit at the top right. You can read more about the things. Maintel Holdings, MAI is ticker. They're a leading provider of cloud communications, security and connectivity, managed communication services to the UK public and private sector. So market cap, 28 million. Enterprise value, 45. So debt of 20 million. Cash of 4. Brr. So they came out with a trading update and notice of results. Now, this trading update, they said, as previously indicated, the board continues to anticipate the group's financial performance will be weighted towards the second half of 2025 and remains cautiously optimistic of meeting market expectations for the current year. That does not inspire confidence. So essentially, as long as you know it is second half weighted, you may hit estimates. Essentially, that's really odds on for a miss, isn't it? If they do hit their estimates for 25, revenue is expected to grow 3%. Net profit is forecast to double to 1.1 million. This was put on a PE forecast of 26 pence. Not cheap. Plus, they have net debt of 16.6 million. However, 2026 looks better if they can achieve these numbers. But like I say, they're cautiously optimistic on the first one. Net profit is expected to come in at 3.4 million, which would put them on a PE of 8. At £2 a share. However, due to the net debt, their enterprise value is 45 million, so an EV earnings ratio of 13. For me, it's a pass, but I got to say, maybe worth a casual watch to see if the company's cautious optimism for 2025 pans out first before pinning hopes on 2026. I'd say, you know, it just, when a company says that, oh, you know, if we have a good H2, we'll hit our forecasts. To me, that says, err on the side of caution as an investor. Assume they won't hit those forecasts, but be, you know, pleasantly surprised if they do. Next, anything else? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll just do one more. PCI Pal, PCIP is ticker. So a leading provider of SaaS solutions that empowers companies to take payments from their customers securely, adhere to strict industry governance, and remove their business from the significant risks posed by non-compliance and data loss. Ooh, that's very important, actually. Market cap, 35 million. Enterprise value, 30.8. So what did they release today? They released a trading and business update. God, that went on for a long... That was paragraphs and paragraphs. Anyway, brokers have downgraded PCI's revenue and profits. They cite currency and timing of contracts. As a result, forecasts for 25 are expected to show revenue growth of 25%, 22.5, net profit of 100K. At 44 pence, it puts them on a forecast PE of 318. Yes, but you're looking on a PE. You should look at EBITDA or sales, EB. No, you shouldn't. 2026 forecast, revenue up by 4%, net loss of 1.4 million. So it gets worse. 26. 2027 is also expected to be loss-making. Now, their net cash, when you're looking at a loss-making company, you're thinking, okay, what's the cash level? Their net cash is 3.9 million as of June the 30th, 25. So they may have enough cash to self-fund through these years, but would not bet on them coming back to the market and topping up, because I don't know, there's no forecast. As far as the forecasts go out, they're not making a profit. So, you know, as long as everything goes well. So if it doesn't go well, they'll be tapping at the market again. This company may have decent technology, but nothing in the figures suggests it's exceptional and therefore in high demand. So I just think, when are you going to make a profit? Because we turn over 20 million and you're making 100 grand profit. 22.5 million, you're making 100 grand profit. In 2026, you're turning over 23.5 million and making a 1.4 million loss. Come on, sort it out. And finally, Staffline, ticker Staff. STAF, one of the UK's leading recruitment groups. It has two divisions, Recruitment GB and what else is there? Recruitment Ireland, I think. Anyway, market cap, 49 million. Enterprise value, 40 million. And they released their interim results today. I think the share price came off a bit, didn't it? It down 12% today. Comments. Staff's H1 results show revenue up by 9% to 485.8 million. Yeah, very low margin is a recruitment business. Profit before tax up 100% to 600K versus 300K. Net debt improved to 5.7 million. That's net debt from 9.2. Free cash outflow improved to 4.9 versus 8. The company said they are on track to deliver results in line with current management expectations. Remember, they had their big contract that came in. That's, I think it was largely going to be recognised in the H2 of this year going forwards. So expectations are for revenue to be up by 17%, but net profit be down to 4 million. At 47 pence, puts them on a PE of 14. Not that cheap for a recruiter in a tough macro environment, but they are expected to continue to improve in 2026. So that will get cheaper at current price. That's it for today. I've done enough, haven't I? This is free content. If you're listening to this and you're not paying anything for it, come on, pay something back, eh? Just go and give me a review at Apple, whatever it is. Just give it top 5 marks. Say this is the best podcast I've ever listened to, ever. And you know, you can rid yourself of guilt for getting it all for free. But like I say, if you really want to pay back, then join the club. Sharepickers.com, less than £3 a week. It's the price of a jumbo battered sausage. I can't say sausage. From the free the sausages. And from the chip shop, less than that. One of those a week, less than that. And it's less than the price of a latte. That's all. Thanks for listening. Sharepickers.com. Speak it tomorrow. Muchos apreciados.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.